Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to In the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Five ideas.
I am Andy.
Andy Matthews, and I am Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was messaging Andy, and I was just sending him links to stuff about my great grandpa.
Yeah.
And his first name is George, and his middle name is William.
Wow. Crazy G-W. Coincidence. Or maybe it's genetic. Who's to say?
G, what, genetic, but spelt with a W?
Or Alistair. Alistair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was your grandfather did that you sent me links to. Great-grandfather? Grandfather, great-grandfather.
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 He had collected samples of a lot of rare plants. And the official records and that the government has of those plants were samples that were collected by him.
And this is in Australia?
We are in the country of Australia, yeah.
Now this...
Because you recall now that I am... Australian.
Yeah, no, of course I recall. I just wasn't sure. I've never denied your Australian heritage. I think I'm very respectful of your Australian
heritage.
Andy,
as a friend, I have to prod you sometimes just to see if you're getting dementia. I mean, I think we were both caring for each other in that moment. I don't think that there's anything to worry about.
Well, what I think is interesting, right, is I reckon there's a chance that your great-grandfather knew my grandfather and possibly my grandmother, because she was a botanist with the CSIRO and he was a soil scientist.
Yeah, it is possible.
And
were they around in like the 80s?
They may have crossed swords.
They might have crossed swords maybe at a urinal or at a unisex, you know, sort of a public pissing pit.
Do you think that there is a mecha?
Let me just picture this scenario.
Okay,
right?
Go for it.
It's the This Is Sparta scene.
Yeah.
From 300.
Okay.
But they're elderly people who are scientists in Australia.
Okay.
And instead of...
This is a fun kicking, mental journey we're going.
Yeah, great. Now, instead of kicking a guy into a big hole, that hole is a public urinal for men and women.
It's a unisex pit.
It's a unisex piss pit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And instead of saying, this is Sparta... He says, I'm going to take a piss. And then he goes and pisses in the big hole.
Right.
And then the other person, then who is now a woman, bends forward and then pisses backwards. I don't know if that can happen.
Yeah.
But everybody's just pissing. And they say, this is the CSIRO.
So nobody gets kicked into the pit, just to be clear.
Nobody falls into the pit. It's it's a slightly different context.
Slightly, but with enough parallels to really make you ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, like, one is your grandmother, one is my grandfather.
Is this a Sparta? Is this a Sparta reference?
But instead of the power difference coming from... You know, one being the king or the leader of whatever some thing. One is older than the other and has been collecting seeds for a long time because he has his own seed business. Mm-hmm. How great is it that my great-grandfather created a seed business? Because then all he had to do was just go into the bush and just be like, oh, there's that, you know, like Prolantia Garanthiana. And mm-hmm. then he would go in and collect its seeds and then he'd have something to sell.
It's a great business.
But then, like, apparently, he was selling things to, like, the governments across the, in the world. Like, the French government, the Israeli government.
Mm.
Things like that. So, like, if you go to Israel and there are, like, eucalypts there,
mm-hmm.
then there's a chance that they were, the seeds of those were collected by my great-grandfather.
It's fantastic. It's amazing. Like he has been, you know, he's like a Johnny Appleseed.
A Georgie Altifeed. Georgie Altifer. Anyway, none of this is a sketch on.
No,
here,
but,
Andy. I'm
but
so sorry.
What I was thinking earlier was when you were talking about the kicking people into, or not kicking, the pissing into the piss hole.
Yeah.
It made me think that's a beautiful parallel to your other idea that you've done in stand-up and also we've maybe talked about on the podcast, which is taking the act of making love and slowly replacing bits of it with bits of the experience of lovemaking with other objects.
That was a two in the think tank idea.
Right, well, there you go, where instead, you know, you get to the point where instead of, you know, placing your genitals inside another person's genital organ... you're throwing a what is it? You're throwing a like dog a calendar across an open field or something like
yeah.
that. But this is like, but is it? Then you're asking the question: well, is that still a sex act? You've slowly been replacing things with other things. But
this is like that.
But with instead of sex, it's the kicking into a pit scene from Sparta. We're slowly replacing bits of it. Ah, now it's no longer kicking. Now it's pissing. Now it's not.
Exactly.
It's no longer in Sparta. It's in the CSIRO. But do you think if people saw it, they would still recognize something of that essential essence and would still be able to derive that same kind of this is Sparta thrill?
Yes, I think so. Like Theseus's pisshole.
I don't think you could call it Theseus's pisshole. You'd have to call it Theseus's Sparta pit.
This is Sparta.
Yeah. Kick okay. pit.
Yeah, all right. Look, it feels like you've talked about it for long enough that we can turn it into a thing.
Okay, great. All right, Alistair. I apologize. How about this, though?
Andy, I'm adding it to the amount of time that I spoke about it, of course.
All right. This is my idea. I'm going to pitch this, and this is going to become a real thing because this is such a good idea, right? This is augmented reality pissing, all right? And it's possibly, it turns pissing into a multiplayer thing. What it means is that basically, and it's got an avatar element in it as well.
It's an MMMORP, and the P is for piss.
Yeah. You're great. The P stands for piss. But what it is you every person who signs up to this thing, this service, has a. Yep. So far, I think it has to be men. I'm sorry, or people with penises.
Oh,
okay. It doesn't have to be men, but it does have to. I think you have to have a penis of some kind to participate.
Okay.
Right.
Well, so far I hate it. I want you to know that.
You know, right. But what it has is you have a small mechanical thing that attaches.
But
to
I want
your
you to know that I'm just saying that publicly because I know I'm going to benefit tremendously from this.
So great. Okay. You attach a mechanical thing, which allows your penis to be aimed via via you know a series of like little servo motors and pistons and that sort of thing, right? So it can be aimed mechanically.
Okay. Yeah,
and then that is connected to 5G network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that when that people can log on and gain control of whenever you go for a piss, right? People can log on and gain control of your penis. Right, the
sure.
aim of
piss and direct it anywhere they want.
They can direct the stream, okay? Mm. And there are, I guess, there'd be a camera somewhere there on the tip of the penis as well.
You could post ads online that say, become a real life director.
Yeah.
Like that. And people will click on it thinking that they're going to become a film director.
Mm.
But actually, what they're going to become is the director review, the where your penis is pissing.
Yeah, really good. Maybe you could even put the word streaming in there. Streaming service looking for new directors, right? They think it's going to be streaming like Netflix is streaming, but actually, it's a stream of piss.
That's right. And you can charge a $25 like application fee. And people write down their whole CV and stuff like that.
Great. And then you get it. Thing.
You don't even have to look at it. And then they go, you've been accepted. And they're like, great. And they thought, here's your chance to direct now. And then you just see the medal of the...
in there, and it's a first-person shooter, right? So you just see a bit of the shaft of the penis there, the tip of the penis, and you're aiming it. And maybe there's augmented reality things. So like all around the urinal. I assume you're at a urinal, but you could be anywhere. There are, it puts in little characters that you've got to try and piss at. I think this could be big.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this would be also great as a self-defense thing.
Yeah, go on.
That the device is... is sold to you as a, you know, maybe as a multi-purpose device, you know. Nobody likes a one-purpose device these
days.
Not
anymore, no. It's not three things. It's one thing.
It's one thing, yes. But the one thing does more than
three things. Or more, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
that. It's not one thing, but it's not three things. It's one thing, but it's not one thing. In many ways, it's three things. And I think that if... there was a sort of a computer vision thing around your head that could constantly aim your penis at threats. That way, that anytime someone is close and gets too close, you could just start pissing. And it could even lower your pants for you.
Yeah. You know what?
You know what I mean? Like quick draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, I guess unfurl the fly or, like, it'd be good to have, like, a little sort of a turret type thing that slides open.
Yeah, like, even over your back.
Over your back.
Like, over your shoulder. Like, if there was a way that you could, it would just point it, like, at somebody who's maybe behind you. But it just points it up towards your back shoulder. But then there's, like, a little flipper on your shoulder.
To deflect it.
That when the piss arrives, it goes and it hits it even further.
Mm-hmm.
Gives it a little extra boost.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good idea. And I don't think we've overcomplicated the idea.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you actually said that. Because I was worried that we had...
Well, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, some people might be listening and thinking, well, Andy's original piss aiming idea had a beautiful simplicity to it. You know,
Andy, other people, like to think that I'm stepping on it.
Well, I think, and I'm agreeing with you, Alistair. I was just only bringing this up and that people might be thinking that so that I could tell them what fucking idiots they are.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Andy. Thank you, because actually... it's actually not often on the pod that we bring up enough how much of a fucking idiot some of the audience is. I think it constantly.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. But I just think I'm doing a bit of extra work, sort of essentially creating new markets for your device so that if it doesn't... You know, this feels like almost something you could sell militarily, you know, as a last resort sort of thing. If somebody is in a fight, you know, and they run out of bullets.
Maybe they lose both their arms.
They lose both their arms. Maybe they lose their legs. This would have been perfect. We could use the Black Knight from Monty Python to advertise this thing. You know, they're about to cut off his head.
Yes.
And then you see the shine of a of a camera inside of his helmet go twinkle inside there. And they go, wait, what's that? And then two little robotic hands pull his pants down, revealing a robotic penis directing device that is directing a piss shooter known as the penis.
Nope.
Or a female urethra, which I like to think, you know, like Metroid, I like to think that maybe the Black Knight was a woman.
Mm.
And then they start to piss and they all die. The enemies die.
Now, if you were, you're saying we could use this, would you go back to the original footage, right, of the Black Knight, and would you try and add this in using sort of modern techniques? Maybe we could even get John Cleese's actual penis, use some of that de-aging technology that they used on Robert De Niro's face for The Irishman, right? Apply that. Because people, I think if you used somebody else's penis, you know, Andy Serkis's penis, put that
people
on the Dark
Knight.
People will
know straight away.
People would be outraged, right?
We could still probably have Andy Serkis act the penis movements.
Sure. Yes. Well, just to provide a framework.
Yeah.
Onto which we can map. We have an incredibly hyper realistic 3D image of John Cleese's real penis, which we have de-aged not too far. Right,
and
you've got to be careful.
It looks tremendously young, like Robert De Niro's face.
Yes, yes.
You know, the corners of the mouth of the penis are curled downwards, like this, going, "You talking to me?" Like that. They're not saying "You talking to me," but they're implying with their curled downness.
Do you think that possibly Robert De Niro's penis, the slit, goes horizontally and is curved down a bit like that?
Are you talking about Robert De Niro's piss slit?
His piss slit, yeah. He has a horizontal piss slit and it just goes down at the sides.
Yes, but I think that it actually stays horizontal at all times.
Yeah.
You know, like a cat. Like a cat falling, like it has that kind of mechanism in it.
Oh, wow, incredible. Sort of almost a gyroscopic thing. So relative to the ground, it maintains horizontal, regardless of the orientation of Robert De Niro himself.
Yeah, I think that he has a kind of like an oozy floating middle of his penis head.
An oozy floating middle?
Yeah, that allows his head to spin
on a gimbal,
kind of always maintain a horizontalness.
Mm. I mean, that would be fantastic. Do you think if we could get an interview with him and ask him?
Andy, I think it's getting more and more possible.
He will take on almost any job these days. He says yes to a lot of things, and he seems to really like doing comedies.
Yeah, and I think I've seen today, from trying to write a trivia question, that he does have his own branded alcohol.
Well, there you go.
And I think that, you know, he'd probably be willing to do an interview to promote his alcohol.
Is it called Robert De Niro?
No. I don't think so. I think it's got some dumber name.
Wow.
He has VDKA 6100 Vodka. That's a New Zealand whey-based vodka partly owned by Robert De Niro.
My goodness. Okay.
VDKA 6100.
That's a really good name. Do you think that when somebody pitched that in the meeting, everybody nodded, they put their pens down and said, "That's a day.
That's
we got it.
It.
Stop.
We can all stop working today."
Good work. It's incredible.
Today I found out that Grey Poupon, you probably don't know about Grey Poupon, do
you? Type of mustard?
Yeah. They have their own wine.
Oh. Okay.
Grey Poupon has its own wine.
Here's something I realized today about wine.
Yeah.
Vintage, the word vintage, probably comes from that. Like wine, like, because you always talk about the vintage of wine. It probably just means like wine age, right?
Yeah, I think you're probably
right. I don't know where the tea comes from, but like...
No.
But...
Oh.
And then, I mean, so like when you... Now when we talk about like a vintage car or something, that's we're like using this wine word, wine age of the car.
Yeah. Or the wine age, like dog years.
Yeah, yeah, like dog years.
Like, is this car sort of still pretty tanniny?
Mm. Dog years is a great comic concept, but I feel like we've probably mined that for everything that it has. All the various twists and turns of dog years.
Well, we've had, you know, Dave Quirk did a good bit about it, dog years. But, I mean, I guess in the end it was about dog ears.
Dog ears, was it?
Yeah. Well, that's what his bit ended up being about. Ah. Because somebody in the crowd had misheard him.
That's a good bit, Dave Quirk.
It was a good bit by Dave Quirk. But
dog
now
weeks.
I wonder,
people talk about dog weeks and dog seconds and dog...
I mean, is there anything that dogs have more than us?
Dog financial years?
Or something that they have less of.
Mm.
That then... So, like, I guess there's, in a way, there'd be dog intelligence.
Mm.
You sure. know, that you could... So, you could say, well, actually, one unit of intelligence is actually worth 7 dog units of intelligence.
Mm.
So, let's say, like, you ask a dog... How many? Let's say you just go. If you could go find your dog Banjo,
yeah,
and you could say, how much is 31 plus 47?
Yeah. Okay.
Right, and then whatever you see him do,
yeah,
just
multiply that by 7.
Well, no, yeah, but or just find what the differential is between what he did and the actual answer.
And the actual answer.
Mm. And that will probably reveal to you the multiple or the or the plus.
So
amount.
Let's say, for example,
the dogs
example,
are less intelligent.
Right. I asked the dog, what is 41 plus 37, right?
Yeah.
And the dog does something it does a lot, which is scratch on the end of the cupboard near the door to be let outside. So I'll throw his ball.
How many times does it scratch?
But I don't know if it's how many times, right? I think what I need to just find is what is the ratio between, what is it, 88? Is that what the thing was? 78 and scratching on a cupboard, right? So I just divide 78 by scratching on a cupboard, and that is the correct answer, you know?
Yeah.
This is another one of those great ideas that we have that relies on applying mathematics to things that mathematics cannot be applied to and consequences.
It felt like you were playing the role of Alistair there,
mm.
trying to make it impossible.
Yes.
And I was playing the role of let's find a way to just make it interpret whatever they do. Like, you could just count the number of things that he do. You're the one who's misinterpreting what he's saying as going outside. He's found a thing to rub on. Is that Banjo right
now? That's Banjo barking right now. Count the barks. Oh, my God. 78 barks.
That was so much.
It's 1-to-1.
It's 1-to-1.
The relationship is 1-to-1. How I like
I'm going to try this
again.
Yeah? Do you have any relationships that are 1-to-1?
Yeah, me and my beloved.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's not really 1-to-1, it's like 1-to-5.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially because I consider them all to be on a team against me.
That's why I said 1-2 rather than 1. You know, what I really meant was 1 versus.
1 versus. 1 against 5.
Could you picture a long relationship that was a battle? An alternative to the healthy relationship where two people come together and just try to make each other's lives better than if they had ever met each other.
Yeah.
Right? Is there a way that you could make your lives better better than they were if you'd ever met each other, but it's competitive.
Well, what about
and,
this?
And against each other.
It's enemy weddings, right?
Okay.
It's a, you meet somebody and you don't like them, right? But you want to take things to the next level and you want them to become your nemesis, okay? Yep. Then you have an enemy wedding, right? And you get all your respective families together there in the house of God, and you swear to be one another's soul nemesis for the rest of your life, till death do you part. Preferably, death by my hand, you bastard.
It's crazy that guys are already wearing black in a on your
it's
usual.
It's perfect.
Yeah, on your usual sort of love wedding.
Mm. You think guys should be in white as well? Be nice.
Maybe, just to show that they're pure.
It actually looked fucking cool. I love a white
suit. Yeah, but okay, so like enemy wedding. Mm. What about an enemy funeral so that you can have a funeral for that, you know, because a lot of the time people say, I don't want my enemy at my funeral.
Yeah.
Right? This person who wronged me, this person who made my life a living hell.
Right.
I don't want them at my funeral.
Well, is that because you want to outlive them? You want to be at their funeral?
No, but sometimes it's because they're through no fault of your own, they're still in your life, even though they've wronged you in some terrible way. And you can say to somebody who you care about, never let that person come to my funeral.
Yep.
Right? But then it'd be nice if there was a place that all the people who you don't like, something that they could attend.
Yeah. Some kind of celebration.
Yeah.
Well, do they not like you?
Well, I think that they may have just done something wrong to you.
Mm.
So maybe they liked you too much. Maybe they don't like you.
Mm.
Maybe they just don't like losing. And they you know, you got in their way.
I'm trying to picture what this would be like. Well, like, would this be like not getting a ticket to the main funeral? Like, you can't go in to see the game live at Rod Laver Arena, but you can watch it on a big screen at Fed Square.
I don't think you're allowed to see the regular funeral.
Right. It's a completely different ceremony.
Yeah.
Mm. And what would it contain?
I guess it could just be a funeral for all the people who I didn't want at my funeral. And so you invite them to a different funeral.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's interesting because people might not realize that you didn't want them at the funeral. They might just think they didn't get invited. So it would be good to have a specific event that you could explicitly invite them to that made it clear to them that they were not invited to the funeral. That this is, you're invited to not my funeral. Okay, it's called a not my funeral.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it also makes sense that you're different people in front of different people, right? And so you should have multiple funerals for all the kind of personalities you have.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know,
all the parts
because,
of you. The person, you know, now a funeral for the person I pretended to be around my parents.
Yeah, exactly. So like you go, anyway, so he never sweared.
Never sweared.
And he was a good boy. He always drank in moderation. And he was very nice. And then,
that's really good.
Look, I don't know. I'm just writing down, you know, because it was a lot
of
talking.
Can you please write down my enemy wedding idea, LSD?
Yeah.
If you have not already.
Andy, do you think I wouldn't have written that down?
Look, we had moved on, and I didn't detect a high degree of enthusiasm from you for that idea. But I did like the idea, and I would like to make a personal appeal, like when, you know, a celebrity asks to get their child into an expensive university, right? I would like to personally approach you and request that my enemy wedding idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great if instead of...
You may now kick the bride, that's what they say at the end of the enemy wedding.
Also, there's still a bride and groom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
They're not a broom and gride.
And I believe that enemy weddings are between a man and a woman.
Oh, you think that enemy weddings are just between a man and a woman?
That's right. I firmly believe that. I'm very old-fashioned in that way.
What about this idea? It's, you know, instead of just having a waist hole...
It's
God, you have a hole you don't even... Like, I mean, I guess this is still involve a hole. But let's say your pinky... Instead of, like... Let's say... So shit still accumulates in your rectum and all that kind of stuff. But let's say there was, like, a... You could get this, like, little, like, catfish-like little slug that you could just allow to suck on your pinky finger.
Yeah.
Right? And it would just... It loves that stuff. It needs that stuff to live. Right? It's not all waste.
Mm.
It's just waste to us.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? Otherwise, flies wouldn't be landing all over it and stuff, right?
Exactly. It seems like it's useful to somebody.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I wonder...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you could just have all the maggots in your butthole, right? Eating the poo.
That's a great idea.
And then you wouldn't have to shit it out.
All the flies.
You could
all the flies could just be in there.
Come out. instead of shit.
Well, it's a clean. It involves less wiping. If you could just put your
this
butt out the window,
it's actually really disgusting.
If you put your butt out the window and then you just allow some flies out,
oh, it's such a good idea.
Like that, but then it keeps enough maggots in there that will eventually turn into flies.
Yeah,
like the life cycle is just let the flies out every day or so. Are you regular? Yeah, I let my flies out usually at 9 a.m. Like clockwork.
Yeah, that's really nice. So you'd go into the toilet, but then you'd stand up on the top of the cistern, open the window, and fart out a whole lot of flies into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you just have to wait. You could feel them coming.
Oh, like, I bet you could.
Yeah. Like that, and then you go... Like that, they just go out like that.
And yeah, I mean,
it'd be harder in apartment living. Not harder, it would be the same amount of difficulty, but it would just be like, you know, that people would be filming you from other apartments.
Well, it doesn't have to be a transparent, oh, I guess, yeah, okay. Right, I was going to say it doesn't have to be a transparent window, but it's literally an opening, isn't it? There has to be space for the flies to get
out. It's an open window, yeah.
I'm sure there's something you could do. You could just build a little sort of like box around it outside.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a closed off like bamboo area, you know, that that kind of... But the thing is that you don't want them to fly back into the house.
Yeah. Well, look, culture would catch up with this, right? With every new invention... Right, there are always flaws, but if the idea is good enough, you know, it'll overcome those kinds of things. Just like ride sharing apps, okay? And this idea is good enough. I feel confident that.
Well, it's already better because you're saving on water consumption.
That's huge. Yeah.
And you need that to live, water.
Mm.
You know, you don't need fly shit to live. And the vitamins don't get lost. So, like, those flies will go out and they'll die somewhere.
Mm.
And so those vitamins can still go back into the soil.
Yeah. Yeah, you man. Know? It's really exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, what we've invented, really, I think, is intestinal worms, right?
But, and flies.
But these
intestinal
are
flies.
Very specific. And I think what you'd have to have is you'd have to have some sort of special little fence or something, like you would to corral your sheep into a particular paddock. There'd be some sort of colonic fence, something that blocks off, that allows poop to get through to feed the maggots, but stops the maggots from going any deeper into your intestines. Right? You know, have a special little wire fence, maggot size, maggot grade.
I mean, I don't know why they would want to go up any further. You know, they're having food delivered to them.
What could they want? What could they want? Like, they've got everything.
It's like a company that delivers food being like, we got to do something to stop people from moving into our restaurant.
From people coming into the factory.
Coming into the restaurant.
Center.
They're gonna want to live right near the place where the food is made, on the bench. If we could stop them. Because, look, they're having food directed to them. Well, if you feed them, they're going to think that you're going to do that all the time, and they're going to expect it. And they're going to keep paying for food, but they're probably going to get closer and closer.
Until they're in the kitchen.
Do you kind of see what I'm doing here?
Yeah, no, I agree.
But you know, like when you like feed a dog or something like that, some stray dog, and they're like, if you feed it, it's going to keep coming back. But it's somebody at a restaurant going, if we keep letting these people buy food, they're going to keep coming back.
Yeah. Don't feed them. They'll become dependent on you.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to live out in nature.
Yeah, it was a really awful thing in Tasmania where people feeding marsupials bread would lead to them having this condition called lumpy jaw. Bones get all fucked and stuff. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how eating bread leads to their bones in their mouth getting all like porous and misshapen and then they die. But it was really real yuck. Alistair, so, I'm sorry I brought that up.
No, but like this was happening everywhere? Is this?
Yeah, I think it was a real like big problem. People feeding native animals a lot of bread. They love the bread.
Were they giving them sort of sourdough and the crust was a bit too chewy?
I think it was the exact opposite kind of problem. I think that it was too easy for them to eat, maybe. But I don't know why that would, like, the jaw wouldn't go like, I like how soft this bread is. I should also be soft to be more the bread that I love.
I should give up.
They don't need me anymore. That's it. The bread.
I'm out of here. The jaw. And then he'd go and join like some hardworking animal's jaw.
Yeah, I'm not respected around these parts.
What do you think is the hardest working jaw in the animal kingdom?
The hardest working jaw. I was up in a tree the other day. So I sit up in a tree to do my work, Alistair. Do you know this about me? I take my laptop up into a tree and I sit in the branches of the tree.
How high up? What's the highest you've ever been to do any kind of work?
I think I don't work higher than about 3 meters high, maybe 3.5 meters up in the tree, right? There's a really good branch that I sit on.
Sounds like you're just sitting in like a lifesaver's chair.
It would be a lot like that, yeah. It would be.
Yeah, okay.
And the cows in the paddock next door, I could hear them chewing. And it was a very satisfying sound. And like, I think we should add to the... It was and very soothing. We should add to the suite of sounds that we consider to be like good listening music while you're working. Things like, you know, white noise and then lo-fi hip-hop beats and I don't know whatever rainforest beach noises. We should add
rainforest
cows
beach
chomping. It was
and
really
so what
good.
Were they eating? They were just eating either fresh grass
or
regurgitated cud.
I'm not sure if I was listening to the cud being chewed. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
But
which
I love the sound of them ripping
out their
grass
teeth
and chomping.
Oh yeah. Breaking through the grass blades and
it's really
and
good.
Then, okay.
That was a hard-working jaw.
Have you ever satisfied a cow's jaw by giving it celery? Do you think that would be also include?
I think that would sound incredible. I think there should be
Do you think
like
they just have
those
a better
video
sort of resonance
chamber? Of people blending anything. There should be a video channel of people feeding every different texture of food to a cow so that we can listen to it chomp.
So like raw pasta?
Yeah. Yeah, if that's ethical, absolutely. I imagine like a if you grab a big full fistful of pasta, right? So you've got a long, you know, all those pasta sticks, spaghetti, fettuccine, you can do all of them, holding them in your hand there and offering that to a cow. The sound of the cow chomping through all of that would be incredible.
Yeah.
I really want this. We should all make this. This would fucking go off on TikTok.
Absolutely. But like, you know, kind of like, will it blend or like, will it, you know, will it be crushed or whatever? But if, you know, imagine if you could just do like, hey, what does it sound like when a cow eats this pillow? You know, what does that sound? What would it sound like if a cow was eating my hand?
Do it. I mean, I personally don't think it needs to. I think for me, the idea is it's eating edible things, and they're healthy for the cow, and they're not parts of your body. But okay. Alistair, if you want to build a cow, maybe a robotic cow.
I don't want to build a robotic cow.
So that people can experience the cow eating anything at all, I'll allow it.
But you want a real cow. The thing is that a goat would do that naturally. A goat would do that.
That's what you could say to pressure the cow into eating. Well, you could say a goat would eat this. You want me to call a goat?
I would spend my first 10 years, I guess, pressuring a cow into being more like a goat. And then I would probably spend my next 10 years trying to breed a goat with a cow. And then I would probably spend my next 10 years hiding inedible things under like edible foods and hoping that the cow just picks up both at the same time with the carelessness of having just a mouth. And
it's amazing that you didn't come to that idea until 20 years in. You spent 10 years trying to get a cow and a goat to make love. I was giving it a chance
to do the right thing.
You think that's the right thing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I work for 20 years on it, Andy?
You wouldn't initially. I'm not going to go to deception straight away. That's not my instinct.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be successful through your own choices.
Mm.
And then later on, I will use deception.
Cow choices.
Through your own cow choices. Andy, we probably have over 5 ideas.
Dear God, these do not. This is not. These some of these have not felt good. But no, Alistair, that's
okay.
Sometimes here we are.
It's lead up to Christmas. We're in some of our tiredest periods.
Mm, we're about to hibernate.
So we're gonna go to 3 words from a listener. Do you know the listener Lizzie?
Lizzie, I think I might know Lizzie. Yeah,
from
Lizzie.
From the Two in the Think Tank Discord.
Is this a new... I think Lizzie has only just joined the Patreon. Welcome, Lizzie. Thank you, Lizzie.
Welcome, Lizzie. We've fast-tracked you to the front of the list.
Mm.
Just so that we could, you know, get some fresh blood in the 3 words kind of scenario.
Mm.
Is it a scenario?
This is a welcome to the 3 word scenario.
Andy, what would your guess as to being, like, as to what one of the 3 words would be?
Plasma.
And is that the first, second, or third word you're thinking?
I'm doing them in alphabetical order this time. Plasma is the first word alphabetically.
Okay. Wow, it's going to be a late alphabetical
Yeah, I know. I've really put the pressure on myself.
No. First word is not plasma. The first word is angry.
Angry, well, is that first word alphabetically?
Yeah, it actually is the first word alphabetically.
Great, okay, angry. Okay, the second word is...
equal first word alphabetically.
Quench. Second word is quench. What's that? Quench.
Quench or wench?
Quench. Quench.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy. No, the second word is angry.
Angry. Angry. Third word, wench. Is the third word wench?
And that's, you're guessing that as the third word?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Andy. Andy, the third word is hippos.
Angry, angry hippos.
Mm.
Really good.
Yeah.
It's just like hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh, yeah.
But the hippos are actually really full. They couldn't eat another bite. But the little objects in front of them... they couldn't eat another butt. The objects in front of them are not balls, right?
Yeah.
Which we know that are what hippopotamuses eat in the wild when they're
That's
hungry.
What they want.
They eat balls. But now they are small boats full of, I guess, fishermen or something like that. That have blundered into the hippopotamus's native environment. And they don't want to swallow the balls, but they do want to smash up the boats and kill the men.
I mean, it does sound like it's just a documentary about how they're the worst killers in all of Africa.
Mm. Apparently that's nowhere near true. That's a complete bullshit fact, apparently.
Bullshit fact.
Mm. I think lions kill way more people than hippos in Africa.
I mean, like, even snakes would probably
I'm sure snakes kill heaps more as well. Yeah. And then how do you feel about people who include the mosquito in the list of the most dangerous animals?
Of course that counts.
You think that does count?
Yeah.
Because that feels like something that you would have an issue with. Because the mosquito is just carrying a parasite, right? It's not even the mosquito itself that's actually killing anything. That would
be
like saying...
Do you think we should include all diseases that are animal, that are living thing born?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, why not? Right? Because that would be like saying people are killed by... horses, when really it is people riding on horses swinging swords, right, that are decapitating everybody. And then, but then you're like, that horse just killed that man.
Well, I mean, I think because, like, let's say you're thinking of, like, what's a disease that you're worried about that could kill you, that, you know, that is like a, you know, caused by some bacteria or virus.
Say the coronavirus.
Right?
Keep this topical. The coronavirus. COVID-19.
Okay, say it was the coronavirus, right?
Mm.
So, with the mosquito, let's say it was capable of carrying the coronavirus or whatever, then you can stop it by just swatting a mosquito.
Mm.
Right? Now, if there was an option like that...
With men. With human beings.
Coronavirus, where you could somehow, I guess, you would just swat them, kill them. You could kill the men who get close to you so that you could stop that disease from getting into you.
A far better example for me, I suppose, would have been to say that if mosquitoes are the most dangerous animals because they spread diseases, and actually the most dangerous animal is man, because I'm sure we get more deadly diseases off each other than we do off mosquitoes. Do you reckon?
I mean, look, it goes mosquitoes, snakes, dogs. I mean, how many diseases do you catch from other humans that kill you?
Mm.
Like, I think the fact that the mosquitoes carry something that is deadly. Like, okay, so mosquitoes, snakes, dogs, and that goes from 1 million to 100,000 to 30,000.
I think you get more diseases off people that can kill you.
Yes, I know, but we're not getting diseases that kill us from people.
What about AIDS?
I know, but that's not that big a deal here at the moment.
But neither is malaria.
Yes, okay. So most deadly diseases. All right, let's see. Okay, top 10 deadliest diseases in the world.
No, is it going to be malaria?
We got ischemic heart disease or coronary artery disease. Okay. So that's you doing that to yourself.
Yeah, most dangerous animals, man. Stroke. And where do you get the food that gives you heart disease?
Yes,
it's carried
mosquitoes.
By a man to your table.
Then we have lower respiratory infections.
Mm.
Influenza or flu and stuff.
Where do you get those from? Man.
So yeah, maybe. Look, maybe that does it. Maybe you're right.
Thank
but this
you.
Is worldwide.
Mm. I think I've got a good... I think I have a convincing case to make that the mosquito is not... has been unfairly placed at the top of this
list. I know, but it still is stoppable by stopping the mosquito.
Sure. And stopping you from getting flu is stoppable by shooting any person who comes near you. I mean, you.
Then you go, oh, well, when a dog kills me, it's just its teeth killing me. It's actually the rest of the dog is fine.
It's just that the dog is carrying the teeth to me.
Yeah.
Oh, the dog could come close to me, but it better not bring its teeth.
The hippopotamus is actually innocent. It is only the force that it carries as its jaw crushes my skull.
It's actually the momentum. It's actually the... Yeah, no, you're probably right. Probably force is a better concept. The car did not kill the person in the car crash. It was the kinetic energy stored in the car.
I just want you to know the hippopotamuses are equal with elephants, which are both at 500.
Mm.
And then it's lions at 250. Crocodiles are at 1,000, but this is all worldwide.
Yeah, right.
Then, but somewhere in there, there's tapeworms that are 700. There's tsetse flies that are at 10,000. Assassin bugs are at 12. Freshwater snails kill 20,000.
Freshwater snails? How?
Yeah. I don't know how that happens, but I... God, I don't want that. Okay.
They're probably just carrying something to you. Millions of people
contracted the infection. Oh, Andy, that's not them. It's just the infection.
It's not the snails.
Wait. So they found
it's not actually the stabbing that kills you. It's the blood loss from the stabbing.
Why snails are some of the world's deadliest creatures?
It's not the knife going into you that kills you. It's the blood going out.
You're killing yourself. Let's see.
Anyway, mosquito. Angry hippos.
So wait, why is the freshwater snail here? It says is responsible for more than 200,000 a year.
Yeah,
carry a parasitic disease called schistosomiasis, which infects nearly 250 million people.
Whoa.
And it's one of the most deadly parasites.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Do you think that they would make a I'm sure somewhere somebody has bought the rights to Hungry Hippos for a video, for a film to turn into a movie, right?
But you know what would be great is starting to use some of the world's most deadliest animals against each other. So carrying a bunch of these snails and throwing them into the mouths of hippos that that are trying to get you.
Sure, it's bio control. What do they call that thing when they tried to bring out cane toads to eat the cane beetles?
Bio control.
Something like that. You know, you're trying to use the things in nature.
Yes.
To control it. So I think, you know, keeping a pocket full of freshwater snails to try and give parasitic infections to any angry hippos. Brilliant idea. Really good.
Dogs, use it against.
And a pocket full of hippos to throw at any mosquitoes that are coming near you. Or snakes.
What are we writing down as a sketch idea?
Oh, Alistair, I'm not feeling good. Angry hippos. It makes me think of those hippopotamuses that Pablo Escobar introduced to South America and have since become a pest species.
Yeah, I like those a lot.
I like them a lot as well.
So then they live... I mean, I think that hippos should have been a South American animal anyway.
It feels right, doesn't it? It feels right. It feels like an imbalance. You know, something... You're actually just correcting a mistake.
Exactly. Something has been fixed in nature.
It's one of the greatest justices in history.
Because we're also saying that that hippos don't belong there based off of some snapshot.
Mm.
You know, like we're saying, oh, well, this is different based on the time when we first started looking.
Right.
Right? But that's also, you know, like that's... that's different based on different times and throughout the last 4 billion years when you look.
Mm.
If you'd initially looked at the Earth, you would have said, well, life shouldn't be here at all.
Shouldn't be here at all. All life is introduced, if you ask me. That's all species are introduced species.
You know, how long do you have to be in a place before you become a local?
I haven't been introduced.
Okay. Angry hippos. Do you think that they could, instead of trying to scoop up
Isn't it
balls
crazy
with their mouth?
That people know the names of cane toads, but do you know the names of any native toads? Right? Isn't that crazy? Mm. And you know why?
Yeah.
It's because they haven't been introduced.
What about the...
Almost there.
Yeah, okay. No, it was a good bit.
Thank
I was just
you.
Trying to... The corroboree frog.
Mm, that's true. I love the corroboree
frog. What about
frog.
This? It's an update to the Hungry Hungry Hippos game.
Mm.
Where instead of eating food, it's the Angry Angry Hippos game.
Mm.
And instead of eating balls, you don't even drop any balls in the middle.
Yep.
Just the hippos have to just take some big deep breaths to calm down.
Yeah, that's good. What about it's Angry Angry Hippos and the balls are inside the mouths of the hippos already, right?
Yep.
And you have to try and get them out with your fingers.
That's what but they're angry about.
That's what they're angry about. You keep stealing
you fed them
their
balls.
Food, right? And oh. Maybe you fed them balls, but I think it's that you keep trying to steal their food. So they're
sure.
chomping, and this little game that we've got, we probably contacted Dyson, right, and used some of their technology to get an incredible biting force on these hippos. So they will, like, take off your fingers. So let's get the balls
that.
Out
so,
of their
So
mouths.
You can actually lose your finger in this family game.
Mate, you can lose your whole arm.
But is this something that you're going to sell to, Milton Bradley?
Not Milton Bradley, no. I'm taking this straight to Mattel.
Okay.
I'm not interested in Milton Bradley.
So what am I writing down, Andy?
Don't know. Angry, angry hippos where you've got to get the balls out of their mouths and they will bite off your fingers. I think you could film this as a sketch, right?
This is like how the Americans thought, oh, let's film a real version of Squid Game.
Mm. Yeah. I read a review that said it was really good.
The American version of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great.
But I haven't seen the original. And
the original was a fiction show.
Mm, yeah, I know.
So it's not like they're the same thing.
No.
You should watch the original.
I should watch the original. But it sounds stressful.
Just watch the first episode.
Okay. Is it good?
I mean, you know, it's interesting.
I'll take it.
I don't think it was terrible. Like, I don't remember. Is 25th Hour good?
It's my favourite film. I've seen
it once. Your favourite film.
Can you take us through these sketch ideas, Alistair, such as they are?
All right,
thank you for your service.
We have Theseus's Sparta piss hole. No, sorry. Theseus's Sparta pit hole, which is the CSIRO piss hole.
Yeah, great. Wow.
Then we have the piss directing device.
Mm.
People can pay to direct.
I think that's good. Like an online
something that's
thing.
Kind of close to what you were intending. I'm not sure
Absolutely.
If I wrote it down right.
No, that's very
then
good.
Then we have the self-defense piss directing machine. Then we have the dog intelligence.
Yes.
And dog then we have multiple metric. Funerals for your multiple personalities.
All the parts of yourself.
Then we have the enemy wedding.
Yes.
We have pooping flies instead of the other stuff. We have the don't feed restaurant. Wait. What is that? Don't feed restaurant.
Don't feed the customers. They'll just keep coming.
Oh, yeah. Don't feed the customers. because customers will keep coming back and they'll become dependent. Mm-hmm. And then we have the angry, angry hippos, which I've just written down, angry, angry hippos.
Which was the three words. But that's where
you try to get the balls out of their mouth, their angry mouth.
They're basically rat traps using that same technology.
Yeah, but it's a good way. You can just repackage the same game.
More or less, yeah.
And then you just get to get, just you just change the instructions a little bit. Get your finger involved.
Look, I think you could probably do one and do this as a real thing where you're just not using your actual fingers. Or maybe you are. They just don't chop your fingers off.
Okay.
I think if you could do that, people might actually buy it.
Sure.
Alistair.
Andy, what do you think? Was that one of our best episodes ever?
I think that might be the best episode ever. Yeah.
It's great to still be peaking during season 4 or 5, depending on what you think this is.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you,
thank
listeners.
Thank you, Lizzie,
we appreciate it.
For the words.
Thank
you. Thank you, everyone who supports us on Patreon.
Thank you, everybody, who supports
thank
us.
Thank you to Alistair for...
Thank you to Andy.
You know, being patient and having me
I
over
think
to
we
his
have
house
to do the,
today.
We have to do the music song, and then before we can go and say we love them.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Shooby dooby dabba dabba dee, shooby dabba 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 dabba.
Thank you so much, everybody. My God. My God, the things you put up with.
My God.
I've got a good feeling about the next episode, though.
I got a really good feeling about it. That we won't be doing it at 9:50 at night.
After you were already exhausted, Alistair.
Yeah. And I got more work to do. Anyway, Andy, take care. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Thank you. And also with you.
And with you.
We
and we love
you.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.